Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Insane in the Fembrain. Welcome to the show once again. Thank you for all your wonderful support. You are a wonderful bunch. We really do appreciate you being there. It's lovely that you've listened to this and all the lovely messages and everything. It's lovely. I'm glad you're enjoying it. I'm enjoying doing it. Producer Paul's loving putting it out. He's a good lad, really. He puts up with a lot of rubbish. He has to sort out the technical side. Anyway, so before we begin, we now have merch. Insane in the Membrane has merch. We're gonna work on a Fembrane one, don't worry about that. But at the moment, we've got Insane in the Membrane. It's from those wonderful lads at Save Our Souls Clothing. Good lads that took old Wilson in when things got dark, gave him a job. And I tell you what, their outfit is brilliant. It's ethically sourced, I know that for a fact. So you're not giving your money to sweatshops. You're not investing in child labour, in child slavery. It's actually going to a good place. These are good lads doing good things with a wonderful fashion label. Check out their stuff. If you go to sosclothing.co.uk/membrane, that'll take you to our merch. It's wonderful. If you put in the promo code membrane, that'll give you some money off as well. What's not to love? It's in a wonderful gold colour as well. Not yellow, it's gold. And I'll tell you what, it's going to really make you look beautiful. It's a cracking colour. I wasn't sure because, you know, I'm old school and like, oh, I don't know, bright colours. But I love it. I actually really love it. So I think you will as well. It's going to make you look smashing. So you can get a T-shirt for the daytime. And when it gets a bit colder in the evening, get yourself a hoodie. There you go. One for each bit. Why not? Do it. So that's at sosclothing.co.uk/membrane. That's where you need to be. And it's while you're there, have a look at their stuff. It's wonderful. And it's really well put together. You're going to love it. So this week I'm joined by Evelina Chardin. She's a wonderful person. You're going to love this episode. The wonderful Sean Doxey put me in touch with her. Brilliant Sean Doxey. Thank you, Sean. Sean, brilliant comedian. And I was intrigued because... Evie's got AS, which is ankylosing spondylitis, which is the... she explains exactly what that is in the episode, but instead of letting it slow her down, she's actually gone the other way. And now she teaches movement and exercise through the medium of pole dancing. And we explain a bit more about that as well, because a lot of people, when they hear that phrase, pole dancing, they assume certain things. Evie explains in the episode that it's not that. It's actually very good for you. And it was a really nice chat. We got on really well. It was a really wonderful connection. And I could have talked to her all day. We were just chatting away. And she's from my second home, New Zealand. And I just adore that place. So anyone who's from there is all right in my book. I love New Zealand. Can't wait to be back. So it was wonderful to have her on, have a good chat. And I think you're going to love this one. She's an absolute sweetheart. So without further ado, coming up in a bit, it's Evelina Chardin.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A podcast from producer Paul.co.uk.
Thank you for joining me. It's really lovely to have you on.
No, thank you. As our mutual friend, this has been a good little setup.
Ah, she's amazing. Yeah. She's always sending me names. It's brilliant. Yeah.
Can I give her a shout out?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, big shout out to Shan Doxy. Not only an amazing comedian, but a wonderful friend.
She's an incredible human. I
love her to bits.
We spent briefly some time together. We were in Wales gigging, and then it was just lovely just being in her company. She's a really interesting, funny woman. And
she's infectious.
Yeah.
In the best way.
I don't want anyone to say that about me. But she,
context.
Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Rich Wilson's infectious. Oh, well, that's a shame.
Lovely.
Yeah, love that. Okay. I just heard at this gig as she was dressed as an octopus doing, an octopus suit that she'd made herself. So I was just like, this is incredible. I'm just watching the people of Aberystwyth just look at her and go, what the fuck am I looking at? It's excellent. It's excellent. So you're a Kiwi as well?
Yes, through and through. You can probably hear it quite strongly.
I love
England
it.
Hasn't got to me yet.
Good. Not Hang yet. On to that. Hang on to that.
Although I've gotten to my partner.
Oh, really?
He gets slammed for using my vowels, which really, when people say, oh, you use her vowels, I go, what do you mean, lazy and flat?
Yeah. It's the I and the E that's round the other way, isn't it? It sounds like it.
Yes. So I say pen or pig or deck.
That's it, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whereabouts in New Zealand are you from?
So I'm from Tauranga, which can be a flex. If you're non-native speaking to a sense, you would say Tauranga.
Okay.
But yes, Tauranga is the correct name from it. It's near Mount Maunganui, if you know Mount Maunganui.
No, I don't. No.
Eastern North Island.
Okay. I've been to Auckland, I've been to Wellington, Hamilton, and then we went across and we were in Christchurch, and then we went out to, oh God, what's it called? It was on the coast, and it was hit really badly by the earthquake that was there, got cut off.
Kakoda?
Yes. That's where we went. We went there.
Yes.
Yeah. So I've been to some places, but not, I can't wait to go back and explore.
Well, you have a friend now.
There you go. Nice.
Yeah. Come see the family home. Come have a barbecue with us.
This is what I love about Kiwis. You meet them once, they go, come and live with us for 6 months. And you're like, what? They go, man, come. We were in this place. We're in, I think it's like Taunau. So I'm saying it wrong. I know I am. It's near Milford Sound. It was out that way. And we did a gig there for them for the residents, and it was like raising money for the community, and then they went, oh, we've got you tickets to go to the Milford Sound, and I was like, okay. They're like, yeah, they just threw me car keys. Yeah, there's car keys. Off you go. I'm like, but don't I have to? No. See you later. And just sent us off. It was amazing. Very friendly.
A very, very similar story. When I first met my partner in New Zealand, and we were very new. He's British. And I said to him, I'm going away for the weekend. Do you want my car? And he went, what? And he's like, I can't drive it. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, can you drive a car? And he's like, yes. And he's like, what? But I'm not allowed to drive it. And I was like, do you have a New Zealand license? Yes. Yeah, but I don't have any insurance. And I was like, mate, we don't have insurance in New Zealand. Not if you don't want it.
Wow, that was it. Yeah.
And just chucked him my keys and he went surfing for the weekend and he was very confused.
Yeah, well, that was it. They just threw his keys and then we were driving along. I'm like, what is this? This is I don't get it. Yeah, people just give you stuff.
It's the trust.
It's a beautiful place. It is. I always have a lot of fun there, and like I say, I can't wait to go back. So how long have you been here then?
So I arrived in December 2019.
Okay.
I was traveling Southeast Asia on the way to the UK from New Zealand to come live with my partner here 2 years on a visa, working holiday, it used to be called.
That's it, yeah.
And it's actually funny because whilst we were in Southeast Asia, we were in Vietnam, and that's when the old COVID was breaking out.
Yeah, of course.
There was like reports like, oh, new virus found in country, weird symptoms, it's cropping up. And we were like, oh, it's nothing. And then when I was in Bali, I don't know why I'm admitting this on a podcast. It's a bit scary.
This is what happens. People open up.
I came down with a very nasty respiratory infection and I had about 100-day cough. And when I came to UK over Christmas, I was still coughing, and I still to this day have extreme anxiety that I'm patient zero for the UK.
Oh, shit. Yes. Wow.
I'm not.
No, of course not. Of course you're not. But you can't help but.
That's
a good
story.
Oh, man. Mate, imagine if you were.
I know.
This is quite the coup for the podcast.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's funny because we were hearing about it in the news and we were like, nah, it'd be fine. Yeah, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
Ah, it's fine. These things happen. It was like we all were like, it was like bird flu or whatever it was. And nah,
yeah, right. Same.
Yeah. And then suddenly it was like, nah, you're not allowed out for a year.
Oh, I know. So I lived here obviously for 3 months before it locked up. And that's just when I gained enough money to travel again after being very poor. And I was like, oh no. But that's okay. Without COVID, I would have not started my life in this business. I wouldn't have quit my job. I wouldn't have done a load of things. So, you know, it has its little silver lining.
So it's only been since COVID that you started the... Explain what it is. Because, like, Sean, I saw the videos Sean's been putting up of pole dancing and that. And so explain what it is that you do.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to wind back a few years to younger Evie. So I am a pole dancing teacher originally, but through my management of my rheumatoid arthritis, I got really into the flexibility and mobility behind pole dancing. So you could call me a strange entrepreneurial pole dancing mobility flexibility PT wellness coach.
Wow. That's a long badge.
Is there an acronym for that?
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
So, yes, I started pole dancing when I was 16. I said to my mother, hey, Mum, there's no, like, gymnastics place that will take me. They tell me I'm too old and I'm too inflexible. Could I try pole dancing? And she was like, yep, if you pay for the classes and... you are sensible. And I was like, okay, yeah, I'll be sensible. My mother's a bit more reserved than I am.
Right. Yeah.
I feel like when I'm a mother, I'll be like, go make some money, have fun, be liberated, do whatever you want.
Yeah.
But so I popped along to my first class and I was super awkward, super weak, couldn't do it, but I loved it for that reason. I loved that. It was like a big challenge for me. And then fast forward to when I was leaving for university, I said to my pole dancing like studio owner, can I sweep the floors? Can I clean? Can I do something just for an exchange for classes? I really want to continue, but I can't afford it. She said to me, yeah, well, actually, we're looking for an instructor position. Would you be keen to instruct? And thus became me becoming a dubbed professional pole dancer. And now it's been like 8 years or something since I started.
Yeah. Wow. That's the thing, because this people don't realize that, they hear the phrase pole dancing, and then they just naturally assume that it's, well, they're not naturally, but they assume that it's to do with sex work and things like that. But there are so many people that do it just for fitness and things, which is what you do.
There's so many layers to it.
Yeah.
Like I think it's actually a really tough topic to address because our four sisters to beginning pole dance certainly were sex workers, and there's a certain homage that needs to be, like, you know, a love that needs to be gifted to them for providing us with the opportunity to pick it up as a normalized hobby. Yeah. But at the same time, it can be completely separate too. You just don't be a dick about it, you know?
Yeah.
You can say, I'm not a stripper, but I respect my strippers.
Oh, absolutely. That's the thing. That I think this is a hot topic at the minute, as you know, is that people, there's that assumption that people are being made to be sex workers, and a lot of there's people that I know that are in that line of work, and but they want to do it. They want to do it. It's their choice, and now they feel like it's being taken away from them.
Yes.
And it's not fair. It just isn't fair.
Just the same as I'm a pole dancer, mobility, flexibility, PT. Anyone can be whatever the fuck they want to be.
Absolutely.
Sorry.
Yeah. You swear away. Absolutely. Swear away. It's a safe space for that. Don't worry about that.
You should be able, I mean, obviously there's some, you shouldn't aspire to be a murderer, but you can be whatever the fuck you want to be. And you should be allowed to be. And if you can make money from it, because skeevy people want to watch you.
Yeah.
Take their money.
Yeah, why
take
not?
It.
If they're willing
to
give it to you.
Take it. I mean, some of them aren't skeevy, but, you know, we know the few characters that sometimes pop in there. Yeah.
But that's isn't it? It's that assumption that it's all sleazy and it's all underhanded.
It's not.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Some of the best dancers I know are the most beautiful, fluid, image of like sex, but in the most stunning sexual way, like not in a sexualized, oh, she's really sexy, I want to get up in there kind of thing, but in a like in a
the control, the power
them,
yeah,
you're mesmerized by it. It's fascinating.
There was a video I was shown, I think it might have been part of a competition, maybe I might be wrong, but it was phenomenal. There's at one point that she was upside down, but then it was like she was walking down, it looked like she was walking downstairs, and she comes back down, and I was the control, the muscle power that she must have to do that. I can't even do a pull-up, and she's doing this thing where it looks like she's genuinely walking down the stairs. Incredible.
Talented amazing people out there.
And it must take, I mean, I can see you now on the screen, and I can see that, you know, you're very toned, and, you know, and I mean that with all due respect. Yeah, and I'm like, that takes discipline to get to that point, doesn't it? And hard work, and you work out all the time.
Not this year.
There's no guilt. Don't worry. I'm not trying to catch you out.
So funny enough, the beautiful thing the pandemic did for me was, when I travelled, I came off pole dancing, so I just didn't have access to it, obviously. And I really got into my mobility, and I just started focusing on looking after my joints and that. And then when I came back to pole dancing after going to the gym and working on powerlifting, all these different things, I was more, I was more stable and strong and put together. So it's funny that you say there's more muscles, because not all of these were built from pole dancing, sure, but it's been a long road of mixed different things to build a physique that tolerates pole dancing and deals with the strength, because it's a damaging sport. You know, it's not a lifetime thing if you're not careful. No, it's a bit like gymnastics. It's quite tough on the body.
Yeah. Oh, wow. And the brain and the mind as well. The brain, obviously, that needs work as well.
Lots of condition.
Yeah. When you're, especially when you say with your arthritis, and your brain is probably telling you, oh, you got to take it easy, you got to do this, you got to do that, and you're just trying to fight those urges to not do that and to actually be more physical. That must take some doing.
Yeah. So it's funny that you bring that up, because let's stay on topic, but take a little tangent off to the side of this topic. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was teaching a pain management workshop, based around mindset. And this will be a cool exercise for you to do on the podcast and anyone who's listening, because I love this for what you're talking about, the power of the mind. So without going too deep, imagine your most traumatic or upsetting or heart clenching, stressed out thing. It could have been last week when someone said, no, I don't want to record with you, but I mean, anything, just think about it for a second and then notice the physical manifestations that come up from just thinking about that. So your heart probably raises, you probably flush a little bit, your chest clenches, your breathing quickens. How powerful is just that thought
straight away? Yeah.
And then if you calm yourself and you think about one of the most beautiful moments of your life and how happy you were, feel the shift instantly.
Wow. It's like a, it just flows out of you.
So that mindset training in pole dancing, in life, in mobility, it's all the same thing. And you're right, my arthritis did teach me to control my brain, because my brain kept saying to me, you can't do this. And that was just a thought. Whereas my body, more than capable of all of it.
Yeah.
You know, arthritis didn't have to limit me.
No. And isn't it ankylosing spondylitis? Is that right?
A good job.
Something like that.
Yes, that's about as mouthful as my title.
You've got two massive badges on your chest.
Yeah. I like to say AS.
AS, right.
Or us. Like,
See, I only know of it from years ago. Somebody, I know there's a comedian called Frank Skinner. Frank Skinner did a bit about it. And I only know of it from seeing older people and they're bent over where they've got like the curvature of the spine, and is that the same thing?
Yes. So yeah. You're probably the most knowledgeable person I've met about it ever at random.
Oh, there you go. It's thanks to Frank Skinner.
Yeah, thanks Frank Skinner. So yeah, AS, yes, is a gradual fusing of the vertebrae through inflammatory processes.
Right,
so it essentially like calcifies vertebrae together. If you were the crazy thing about this disease is that if you were inactive, it will take over your life and control you and turn you into the Hunchback of Notre Dame. No joke. Like, not funny, not anything. It actually will. Whereas, and like, not only that, like Hunchback, like causes, if you look back through time, usually quite old people, quite likely they had AS.
Yeah.
But now, if like studies are finding, if you're active, you're on top of your inflammation, you can actually even, what's the word for it? Come into remission.
No, really?
Yeah.
I've never heard that before. I thought like once you had it, that was it.
So it is once you have it, that's it. But, and technically I'm in remission in terms of, so without this getting too sad, I have a few sad stories to tell. When I was 18 and when I was diagnosed with this, before pre-diagnosis, I couldn't walk to my university classes. I had such intense sciatica pain that just shot down my legs that I couldn't even bear weight on my hips. It was awful. Like, there was nights where I had to like crawl on my dorm floor, like out the door and into the bathroom, and like pull myself up onto the bathroom seat. It was horrific. I don't actually know how I ever put up with it. Or
yeah, I was going to say, how like, did you obviously knew something was up, but you didn't know what?
I had no idea what it was at the time. Like, I'd been told I had back sprains my entire life, and like bursitis is where you have like inflamed bursas in different parts of your body.
Okay.
And then, yeah, when I was diagnosed, it was almost like a relief. I was like, oh, they know what it is. Whereas now, I think the last time I crawled, about those words, like the last time I crawled would have been like 2018.
Yeah.
So it still gets me good sometimes.
You had a flare up and.
Yeah. So you get flares come. This is the hard part to understand about rheumatic arthritis is it's not like osteoarthritis. People seem to think it's the same, but it's quite different. Ours is in a more autoimmune condition where our body attacks its own healthy cells and causes inflammation. And with this inflammation obviously comes pain and a bit of torture, but also things like fatigue, high blood pressure. It's really commonly linked with Crohn's disease, stomach disorders, IBS, IBD. When you have a bad immune system, it tends to come up with a whole flare of other issues. But the beautiful part about when something is really internal is that you actually have a lot more control over it than you think. I'm on a lot of arthritis forums online, and I just see every day all these ladies saying, I'm taking XYZ, I'm injecting methotrexate into myself, which, by the way, is an abortion drug.
That's
used to regulate immune systems. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Crazy stuff. Yeah.
How did they figure that out? I don't know.
I'm assuming it's a bit of a what's the drug for men getting stiff? Viagra. Do you know how that got found out? Because it's a blood pressure medication now. It was tested for blood pressure medication, but the side effect was that it gave you an erection.
Oh, I see. I was going to say, I wonder about it, because no, it's just tried and error. Just kind of happened. All right.
And then they relabeled it. Great marketing.
Yeah, well done.
Yeah, yeah. But so I think I'm not sure about the same thing with methotrexate, but it's an immune regulating drug, and it's also an abortion medication. So anyway, I see all these people posting about all these awful things that are happening in their lives, and I just think, like, I don't ever want to call anyone a victim, but I do believe we're all victim of our own thoughts.
Right.
When you get trapped in that, researching everything, I'm going to turn into a hunchback, like my life is so much in pain, and you get that huge pessimistic, like negative outlook on everything, I genuinely believe you generate your own pain. And you generate your own diagnosis, because I was like that. And when I decided to come off medication after a horrific, traumatic period of my life, and I decided just to push, like, reset, I have not looked back. And I, like, fundamentally changed the rest of my life.
That's incredible. So, you just kind of went...
Sorry, you can see that I'm getting... this trauma reflex. I'm getting a bit red and, like, rashy, but...
You're right. Yeah,
no, I'm fine. I'm fine. Okay. Happens all the time.
This is, like I say, it's a safe space, and you can talk about whatever you want, and if it does get a little bit emotional, then it's completely up to you. You can back out, and you can go, look, let's move on. It's all about the guest, so...
Yeah, and it's been really beautiful listening to some. I listened to one, I shouldn't forget her name. This is really bad for me, but my brain is like this. Who does the clowning. I was listening to
Elf.
Her episode.
Elf Lyons.
Elf, yes. And her story and about, men and et cetera. I won't go into too much detail and not spoil it for anyone. But, like, listening to her be vulnerable about things was really cool. And it's important that we share our stories and our trauma, because it helps people heal. True. And without us going through those awful, horrific things, like, life wouldn't be what it is. So, I'm an open book.
Well, that's lovely. That's exactly why I do these podcasts, because I want to learn. I want to learn more, and I want to learn, and I want a place where I can ask. I've said this loads of times. I always say this, but it's a place where I can ask questions that you probably couldn't ask out in the real world or out on, especially on Twitter and things like that. And for people listening as well, kind of talking about things, because I don't always get it right. I don't. Sometimes it's quite clunky the way I ask, but my intentions are trying to, and your condition, it's good. Because I always, when someone's diagnosed with something like that, and there's that, you go, is that it then? I'm just done. I've just got to wait until everything fuses and I'm just bent over. So to hear your story when you went, no, I'm not having that. I'm going to actually research it and I'm going to fight against it. Will give hope to somebody else listening to this.
Yeah,
which
I
is
hope
phenomenal.
So.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the thing is, so obviously on the key part of mobility and tying the story together with a common theme, after a lot of that situation, so maybe we need a small backstory into just before we really dive into why life had to change.
Okay.
So I was in my postgraduate year of university. I was competing in one of New Zealand's top pole dancing competitions, so I had this coming up. I was put on an immunosuppressant medication, which made me severely depressed, terrible anxiety, self-confidence plummeted to the floor. Like, I had one of the 1% reactions to this immunoregulating medication.
Yeah.
I turned into, like, a shell of myself. It's actually crazy. Well, one of my best friends just, like, turned around and, like, moved out of the flat, because she was like, I don't recognize you anymore.
Oh, wow.
Like, who the hell are you?
Mm.
And shortly after that, my partner left me. In between all of that, I had a stomach bleed, yada, yada, like lots of crazy stuff went on at that point in my life. Crazy, crazy medical year. No, you're right. And then after he left me, I was just like at a point of like, who am I? I didn't have a sense of identity. I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life. Like, I was just crushed. I didn't know where to go. So the first step, in terms of anyone's control in their life, like, the one thing you always have control over is how you choose to look after yourself.
Yeah, definitely.
No matter who you are, where you are, that is the only thing you can have control of. And for humans, control is like such a big thing.
Yeah.
We need to grasp to something, otherwise we feel so just like floating around in this big cosmos, true. whatever we're in, right? So that's why I said, I was like, the one thing you can do is just get on top of your health. So I optimized my sleep. I optimized my water intake. I looked at my nutrition, movement. So movement became really key. And I was like, okay, you've got to get stronger. Like, and also in terms of a woman, like if you're a bit fragile mentally, building a strong body is like the best thing you can do for your confidence and your mental fortitude. It like changes you as a woman. You're like, no, sir, I'll put my own bag in the aircraft carrier. Thank you. Dismantle the patriarchy. I'm kidding. But yeah, I was like, get strong, get sexy. Cause you know, I wanted revenge body a bit. And then once all these parts sort of came in together, I realized that one of the biggest parts of all of it was movement. It was like I could be meditative whilst I was doing it. It made me strong. It made me feel more confident. Like, obviously, you start looking a bit better, but that wasn't the goal at the time. The goal was just to get strong. And then when we put all these keys in together, I just, like, changed as a human being. And I realized that my trauma became a place that allowed people to relate to me. Because often people look at me and they see this confident girl who has no worries. You know, I come from a place of privilege, obviously. Beautiful country, beautiful home, beautiful family. Like, I'm really lucky. And people look at me and they go, oh, she's never gone through anything. She's so lucky to be like this. And I like sharing my trauma, not as like a F you, but as like a, no, we can share space together because we've been through common ground. And that common ground might not be anything in terms of similarity of what happened to us, but we've both experienced hurt here.
Yeah.
And I can help you fix this hurt.
Wow.
And movement, again, is something we have control over, whether you're disabled or not. You know, there's something you can move and there's something you can do it with intention. And it's just, I know this might sound really like, it's like my ground principles now.
It's really last few weeks has been a little bit, there's been a lot of emotional stuff going on personally, and I kind of just shut down. I wasn't doing much. I was doing stuff online, but I wasn't going out, and I was trying to walk around and do stuff, but
it's hard.
Yeah, it is hard to get motivated. And then I just had this moment, I went, oh, fuck it, I'm going back to the gym. And then I joined this gym. Oh, fuck it, I'm going. And then I went, and it was like, joined the gym, went to the gym the next day. And after that first session, I just felt bulletproof. Suddenly I'm like, oh, yeah, because I used to go to the gym years ago. I had a personal trainer. So I remembered all the things he taught me. And I was like, right, back into it. And I just felt, wow, straight away, just felt, because I knew I was doing something positive. There's that as well.
Yeah.
Just that you're doing something positive will just elevate you. And it was incredible. They really, just that friction is what keeps you going. When you're moving around, it's like if you had a car and you just left it, it would just rot and fall into the, you know, disappear into the ground. But
because
you keep using it, the friction is what keeps the molecules together. And that's, yeah, and I totally understand that.
The beautiful thing you did is that you did something for you.
Yeah, well,
you
know, yeah.
You didn't do it for anyone else. You did it for you.
Yeah. I just wanted... Yeah, you're right. It's just, yeah. There is... But that saying that, it makes you feel weird. It makes you feel selfish. And I'm like, I like doing things for other people.
No, yeah. It's okay. When people say, like, self-love is baths and oils and incense, I'm like, no. Self-love is just doing something for you. Yeah. You associate baths and incense with doing something for you, but it can be anything that is for you. It can be putting a boundary in place with socialization when people want to ask you, do you want to go out? And you say, no, that's self-love.
Yeah. It's funny that talking about boundaries with a partner that I was with and boundaries came up later on. It's like, yeah, we were a bit too open at certain points and I should have said no. A point when I said yes, and you know, and it causes problems. It does cause problems later on because you've already said yes, so now you're in it, and then you're like, oh, actually, I didn't really want to do that.
Yeah,
whatever it is, you know, and it's so boundaries are important,
and like that's the thing is you were experiencing emotional pain, right? When you were having this tough time.
Yes.
And as I like to say, pain is a signal for change. So pain is your body's way of saying to you, something's not right. I'm not happy. I can't do this at the moment, whatever it might be. Now, it's hard to pick up what the triggers are for that pain, especially if you're not familiar with what your pain triggers might be. But that was your body saying, I'm not okay mentally. I need to do something to be okay mentally. I need change. What you're doing right now isn't working for me.
Yeah.
And then you did something, a solution, or what I like to call a reliever, and you helped resolve that pain. But had you left that pain unchecked, what happens when we let pain manifest? It's either metabolic disease, heart disease, stress conditions, depression, anxiety. Wow. Like, sometimes when you put these like dots together and how stupidly simple it is, your like eyes become blown wide open to like how intuitive our bodies are. They're so smart.
They really
are. Disconnected. Yeah. We're so disconnected from them.
Yes, I get it. I get it. It's funny, isn't it? You have to you have to face that pain and go, yeah, this is fucked. Let's do something else. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, but it takes work, doesn't it?
Yes, and it takes a lot of experience of pain to be able to learn that pain.
Yeah.
As a 24-year-old, I know I kind of don't have any right talking about trauma and pain, but I like to think that I've been through a bit of a ringer for a 24-year-old.
You've unfortunately gone through some shit that, at a very young age, and that's, you know.
Yeah, and it's taught me a few lessons. I'm not saying I have all the answers. I'm not medically trained. I'm just someone who's interested in, like, the psyche of the human and how to help people out.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's just your version. It's your opinion. And hopefully, by telling other people, they'll go, oh, yeah, that works for me. I can do that. Yeah, it's absolutely. And I think it's brilliant that you're doing that. You know, it's like I saw the videos like that Shana put up, and she was saying that she's just changed. Her whole outlook has changed from that work she's been doing. So, you know, good on you.
Yeah, it's very, I think, like, I definitely wouldn't be this person without being amongst the pole dancing space and people like sex workers, people like Shan. Like, I mean, I'm not saying Shan's anything. I mean, actually, no, she is a unicorn, Shan. I'll take that.
Yeah, yeah, of course she is.
But you meet people like these and you start realizing, like, oh, there's all these collectively different people from all different walks of life. These are people who don't want to be strippers. There are other strippers. There's people who want the blend in between. So they want all of the experience of dancing on stage and the nudity, but without the crowd. And once you start all realize that we can come to the space and all relate together and all get along, it's very like power to the women, but in the most like nice, lovely way.
Yeah, and it's that showing people that there to have respect, like we said, for people that are in the sex industry and people that want to do pole dancing but not necessarily become sex workers. They just enjoy that, the physicality of it, the doing of it, and again, having these conversations helps men understand that I remember having a conversation with someone. Who I know is someone I know that is in the sex industry and you're like that's what she does for a living. It doesn't mean she does that. Whatever she's doing that you've seen, it doesn't mean she's doing it outside
24/7.
Yeah, so you don't get to just message her and go, oh, I want to do that. It's like, you have some fucking respect, man.
Yeah. There's this weird thing where. Men and women, to be fair, because having been exposed to strip clubs quite frequently, when you're in a strip club, as a young teenager myself, I'll totally admit this, and I'm a little bit disgusted by my younger self, I thought I had the right, and like I was entitled to touch those girls because I was a woman, they wouldn't mind, I'm young, they're young, and luckily, like 99% of the time, those girls were totally fine with it was fun, it was flirty, and it was an experience with sexuality between me and another woman and being comfortable. But I had no right to that entitlement. And I just assumed it because she was a sex worker and I had that opinion too.
Yeah.
Whereas now I'm like, if anyone walks into a strip club and I'm with my friends and any uninvited touching happens, I go, no.
Yeah.
You let her tell you when you can touch your body. You don't get rights over that person just because they're a sex worker.
Exactly.
People are like, oh, but she touches people all the time for money. For money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the key word there, for money. You got to pay her. That's how it works, honey. Not with a one.
Yeah.
With a 20. More.
Yeah.
That's just for like touching an arm at 20. Just to shake her hand.
Yeah. That's it. Yeah. Hello. Nice to meet you.
Yeah.
But it is that the theme of the word consent.
Yes.
Is something that really needs to be discussed. And that's even in relationships, you know, that kind of, even in a relationship where somebody has agreed to do something with you once, you shouldn't just assume that you can do that.
It means again.
All the time. Yeah. It's like, it's again, they have to say, yes, you can. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. And that's what we need to start understanding. You know? And I've been guilty of that in relationships.
I think we all have.
You know, you kind of go, oh, but I thought we were cool with that. And, you know, and then they'd feel bad. They go, oh, no, you know. But because we hadn't communicated properly, it just made it really awkward. And, this is something that we need to discuss. And,
on the topic of communication and all of those kinds of things. So, when we were talking about, you know, like looking after self means the ultimate form of self-love, so placing boundaries, communicating. When I went through that journey of talking about building strength, made me a more confident woman, a more communicative woman, the most beautiful part about it that I mentioned to you in that email is that in terms of like my own sexual liberation, I became much more effective at communicating to men what I wanted or my boundaries.
Mm.
So yeah. I was like oh my goodness, when I was single, I tell my partner about this all the time, so he won't care that I say this on the podcast, but when I loved Tinder and Bumble, oh my goodness, I'd go on dates for fun.
Right.
I think during my single period, I would go on like 3 or 4 dates in a weekend. You're the only person
that said they enjoyed it. I've never heard this before.
I mean, at times I really didn't, but like I just loved meeting people and it helped my confidence, man. It made me empowered. But the beautiful part was I stopped ghosting people. Like I was ghosting people at the start, but towards the end I just went, I'm sorry, it's me, I'm not into it.
Yeah.
Respect my boundary. And they were like, thank you for just not pissing around and then never speaking to me ever again. And then obviously as like a sexual person, I could say to them out loud, like, I want to have sex with you.
Yeah. Why not? That's how it should be.
And made the boundary really clear for them. And it meant that there was no around consent. And then they would feel comfortable asking me, are you okay with doing this? And they'd say yes or no, not comfortable. Yeah. So when we're open for communication, like it's a two-way barrier. And sometimes I do think women pin men a bit for being like, oh, but you didn't ask me again. And it's like, well, honey, similarly, you've got to be open and receptive to a woman and saying, I'm comfortable with you communicating with me.
Yeah.
Because men have that little barrier, you know, they're a bit scared sometimes.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
It's the way they're raised. Yeah. It's the way you're raised in masculinity in that, you know.
Yeah.
You're not supposed to communicate your vulnerabilities to women.
No, not at all. I mean, we're getting better. We're getting better, but it's, you know, it's.
Yes.
We're only just starting that journey, it feels.
Yeah. And you know, women have that equal responsibility in my part that we need to be just as willing to communicate our vulnerabilities. And you don't have to be crazy about it. I hate using the word crazy because it assumes men are women, which it's not. But you can just say, talk to me. And if you're uncomfortable, let's find another mode of communication.
Yep.
So like thumbs up or thumbs down, you know, just change the spectrum of communication.
Yeah.
And it's really funny. So me and my partner, we were like fought quite bad at one point, you know, pandemic, yada, yada. And eventually I said to him, like, our communication's got to change because we both go stone cold silent. We won't speak to each other for like a day. Like we're bad. Both of us are very stubborn.
Yeah, I know that. Yeah.
So now I just say to him, I'm annoyed. I'm annoyed at you. And he knows immediately, okay, give her some space and then come back and apologize, even if, and I say to him, you don't have to apologize because you want to say sorry. You just have to say, I'm sorry I upset you. You don't have to say you're sorry for the thing you did. You just have to say, I'm sorry I hurt your feelings. Then I can calm down and I can say, I'm sorry I overreacted, or I'm sorry that I said this in this way and that pissed you off too. But now that we've got like that little I can just, even though it's a bit shit communication, being like, I'm annoyed, it's still better than nothing. And it gives him the opportunity to have his turn to communicate as well. Otherwise, we'd just stay silent.
Yeah, oh God, I can, oh, that's, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And it, when those lines of communication break down, like, and yeah. are completely fucked, neither of you can say anything to the other one without it flaring up again. And yeah. it just becomes so frustrating because you just end up walking around going, what do I do?
How did we get here?
Yeah. We love each other. Why is this happening? You know?
And you forget what you were fighting about and you're like, oh God, it really couldn't have been that important if I forgot.
Yeah.
I remember if it was important.
I remember being my ex-wife and I, we were really shouting and hollering at each other and then she stood there and I stood there and I don't know what we're shouting at. What are we arguing about now? She said, I don't fucking know.
Once me and my partner before this one, one of our breakups was over cheese balls. Like, you know, the cheesy chips.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
And when you go back to the root of some arguments, you're like, oh, there's some deeper communication issues here if we're fighting about cheese balls.
Yes. I lost my shit over chicken dippers or chicken things for Burger King. I obviously, there was something else bothering me going on. Yeah. And we had ordered a load of food in the car and then my partner had them. And I didn't get any. And I lost my shit.
What the fuck? Yeah. You ate my chicken dippers. Yeah.
And it wasn't until later on, I'm like, oh my God, this is
I'm
me.
Sorry.
This is genuinely me. I don't know what is my problem. Yeah. So, but you know, yeah, go on.
A good, maybe we should do a good one for people to learn because I'm big on people learning.
Yes.
Some solutions to communication problems and some exercises you can do. One of my favorites is with my sister. When she comes home from work, because I lived with her for a little while, she's older than me, she's a doctor. She has some tough days. She has an amazing story, actually. She had a brain injury at 17, I think. Maybe she was.
Oh, wow.
17? I was 14 at the time, or 13. She fell off a horse, like, severed her pituitary gland connection, so she doesn't produce hormones. It was a very long road, very traumatic, but now we can laugh about it.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that if she's like, oh, I forgot this thing, and I'm like, that's because you're brain injured. That's because you've got a brain injury.
Yeah. Yeah,
so we can laugh about it now. But anyway, that meant, like, sometimes she comes home and she's very, like, tired and fatigued and upset and angry, and she's not very good communication abilities. So one of the things I use on her is I'm like, what's wrong? She's like, nothing. So I go over to her and I, like, pick her up, and I just shake her. Like, I literally pick her up and shake her like a can. And one cool thing about this is that when humans move rapidly and wildly and really just, like, chaotically, we tend to, like, disperse whatever we're holding on to. And I shake her and I just say, what's wrong? Like, tell me what's wrong. Like, tell me. And she'll start laughing and giggling because it's funny that I'm shaking her. And eventually she'll be like, I just had a shitty day, like, this patient. I had to tell their family this terrible news. I'm just really upset. Like, can I have 20 minutes? And I said, just walk in the door and tell me this.
Yeah.
Just walk in the door and tell me, and I'll know that you're not mad at me. Humans are really bad at taking things personally.
Oh, mate, all the time. The time. Yeah. Most of the time it was me. But... Not the point.
No, it's not the point.
But yeah, I know what you mean. Is that this comes up quite a lot on the podcast? Is communication, and just it doesn't have to. You can just walk into the room and just blurt it out. You can just go, look, this has happened to me today. I don't know how to process it. I'm feeling.
Yeah, or I am processing it.
Yeah. Yeah. So important.
Ask for help. Yeah. Sometimes I just turn to my partner, I'm like, I'm just upset, and I'm just like, I need a hug. Hug me. And then I feel better. And if I hadn't said that, I probably would have sat there being like, why the fuck aren't you hugging me, you asshole? Can't you see I'm sad?
I think that's been something that people have missed this year, is that hugging people. There's nothing better than a hug.
A hug.
God. Yeah.
We're not, I won't disclose where I live or who my flatmates are or what happens, but admittedly, we've hugged a person or two. But oh my God, the relief in hugging a stranger.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, I almost cried the other night. I was like, can I just, I know this is weird, but can I just like stay here with you and like continue this hug?
It's just sometimes it feels when you,
so good.
When you just get, you just meet that person on the, at the right time, you just lock in and it, you just connect. You can just feel
it's
yourself
beautiful.
Fusing together. Yeah. I love that. I love that.
It's the nicest feeling.
Yeah. It's not sexual. I mean, like, it's just just that connection. It's like, oh my God.
Should we hug right now, Rich?
I'd love to. I would love to. Good, yeah. Wouldn't that be great?
That'd be nice.
We will.
I've got skinny little arms, but you know.
Yeah, well, you're strong. You'll probably hug me in half.
Give a good beer hug, I do.
But it's nice. It's good. It's good that you haven't let the AS slow you down, and you've fought against it, which is all power to you, you know. And like I say, people listening to this will appreciate that as well. You know, it's not the end of the road because you have that.
Yeah, I mean, when I wrote in your in the email saying like, I think a lot of people have a crutch that is a mislabeled wand. We let our trauma sort of like insert itself as like the key point of defining us. So like, I could go to people and say, hi, my name's Evie and I have ankylosing spondylitis. Or I can walk up and say, hey, I'm Evie, I'm a mobility coach and I like to change lives. Like, you know, there's narratives away and around these sort of things. And I used my AS as a crutch for a really long time. I remember when I first met my partner and I said, I don't go hiking because I can't.
Right.
And like, what a powerful thing to tell yourself. Yeah. I can't climb my mountains and see beautiful things because I can't. Well, why can't you? Oh, because I'm in pain all the time. Climbing mountains makes me in pain. So just like the exercise we did before, every time I thought about climbing a mountain, I would think about some of the experiences I had and the pain that I had, and I'd become sore. I remember he wanted to go on a hike, and I said, okay, I'll try. And I remember saying to him something like, I'm just going to not think about it. Like, I'm just going to try and enjoy what we're doing. And then I enjoyed what we were doing, and I've climbed many mountains since.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Yeah.
What a metaphor, right?
Yeah. Yeah, both physically and mentally, you know.
Yeah. But it's crazy. The only thing that was stopping me was me. Same with snowboarding and skiing. I remember saying to my friends, I don't go snowboarding and skiing, because I remember being like 10, falling off, and then having terrible sciatica for like 2 weeks afterwards, not knowing what it was. And then my partner took me snowboarding. Now I love snowboarding. Snowboarding might be the most fun thing in the world.
Wow.
It tops pole dancing. Sorry, all the pole dancers. But oh my goodness. The flow state of just like leaning back and forth on your snowboard is like just you fly down a mountain. Not for everyone, but for me.
I've been skiing a couple of times and I've yet to reach that flow state, to be fair. I'll do the snow plow and then
the pizza.
Yeah, and then there's one particular bit of the thing of the slope, and every time I hit that bit, I just went down it as quickly as I could to get it out of the way, and I just shit my pants every time. It wasn't a flow state. I wasn't at one with nature. I was like, I just need to get through this bit real quick. Just hurtling down.
Next time you go down that mountain, you change that narrative that you're saying right now, and you say, I can get through this. Like, I'm going to go slow through it and conquer it.
Instead of just putting my skis together and then off I went. It's just, oh God, I need to get through it. Just keep standing there. Yeah, just stay up. And just, which is what I think I do that a lot in life. I just kind of like, all right, just do it. You know, just get it done.
Yeah. There's not a bad mindset to have though at the same time. You know, if that's your superpower for getting things done, then that's incredible. I know a lot of people who can't say just get it done. They just go, I won't do it.
Well, yeah, I do that as
so
well.
You're halfway there.
Yeah, I stick my head in the sand a lot. And I'm just like, oh, I can't face that. I'm not going to look at it. I'm fine. And then it'll just disappear. It doesn't disappear. It means the bank sends you letters.
Yes, yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, I need to speak to them. Yeah.
Don't do a Jimmy Carr on that one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, just pretend it's not happening.
But, I love him. Yeah. I love how he openly admits that and he just like makes jokes about it at his gig about what happened. Like, yeah. Power to you, mate. Power to you. Own your mistakes. Yeah, yeah, just own your mistakes.
I think that's it as well. That helps with your mindset as well. If you just go, I fucked up there. That was, you know, because I think there's an assumption that everybody else has got life sorted out and you haven't.
No. No. Yeah, no. Yeah, no, big power to you in that sense as well. Is like, so if we're talking about diagnosis and that, and we're not saying, you know, like sometimes getting a diagnosis for something makes that who you are.
Mm.
The same thing you've got to do is get past and accept that and like own your mistake of being in that like vulnerable space where you're not communicative and you've done things wrong. Because once you learn to like own your humility, nobody can really touch you. And no. if somebody judges you, that's on them.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I'm willing to admit I've been a dick in my past. I've been an asshole. There's a lot of people that don't like me. I think they would like me now.
Same. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Same. I'm like, yeah.
I'm sorry to all those people. This is a public apology to anyone who might listen to this. Be like, I hope Evie effed up on this podcast. I'm sorry if I ever hurt you because I was a dick.
I would like to join you in that sentiment and join you in that apology. I'm really, yes, I recognise that. I think back now to recent things, I'm like, fuck, I did. That was all the time. That was too much, man. Yeah, I do, you know. I've made amends with, right, this is the thing, so, like my partner was saying, she's like, you're too busy. You're so obsessed with making amends for past things that you're fucking up your future. Oh, yeah.
Boundaries, you know, boundaries, yeah. But I'm sorry.
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am really. I am sorry. I'm the same. I own it. I've been. That's why I'm going back to therapy. I've got it booked in next week.
Good.
Starting again. Yeah.
That's what we need.
Yeah. Yeah.
Although I have this one thing with therapy. I think therapy is the most beautiful thing to get people in a room and share their vulnerabilities. There's only one part that I don't enjoy about it when I have done my own counselling sessions. Isn't with someone else, not my own for me. I'm not that self-entitled. But is I don't like it when they get you to revisit trauma over and over and over again.
Yeah.
I think fixating, just like that exercise we did when we fixated on our trauma and we felt the stress responses, I reckon it's better to accept trauma and then move on.
Yeah.
So forgive yourself or whoever for what happened in those points of time and then move on freely who you are as a human. You know, don't revisit that memory. That's a memory for a reason. It's in the past for a reason. You don't need to be anywhere else right now other than right here. Because that doesn't matter anymore. It happened. You can't change it.
Yeah. Well, and that's exactly it. I was too busy. Even very recently, I've been too busy going, I wish that hadn't happened. I wish I hadn't done that. I wish, you know.
But what can you do about it?
Yeah, can't. You can't change it. You did it. So
you can say sorry and can move on.
Yeah.
If they don't accept it, that's on their terms.
Yeah, you can only do, My God, it's true.
Sorry, I get these really hardcore conversations with people all the time. I'm like known for it. And then people like unload their trauma on me and I'm like, I'm like, I'm not a therapist.
There's sometimes you have to be in the right frame of mind to accept it. Like I'm always saying to people, like, you know, reach out, man. Reach out to somebody. But then sometimes I might not be in a good place to receive it.
No.
And then I'll end up, like, I might not reply straight away or I might handle that wrong and, yeah, it's an ongoing thing, isn't it? We're all trying to open up and we're all trying to help, but at the same time we need help. And you know, it's so complicated a lot of the time. Yeah,
certainly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Isn't it?
I was just thinking of something quite funny as you're saying that.
Go on.
This might be weird so the podcast people know, Rich says some really good things and instead of saying yes and acknowledging him, I'm just nodding. But obviously, you can't see or hear nodding on a podcast.
Well, I do that as well because I know early on when we started doing these, you could hear me going, yep, Yep. This sounds, I'm listening.
I am listening, I promise. I'm fixated on you. This has been good chat. We are, I feel like we flow, you and I.
I like it.
Kin.
Well, it's that, isn't it? It's being, what we talk about communicating, and I think we both...
Open to communication.
Absolutely. Practice what we preach, and you know, and yes. I am learning to be better at communicating. And
same.
And there was Michael Smiley was on. He's an actor, a friend of mine, and he said he has a trouble is everybody's transmitting, no one's receiving at the minute. And it was really, I was like, wow, that's really, yeah. Everybody's kind of like, I need this. This is happening, and yeah. And you're like, no. Sometimes we need to just go, oh yeah, what do you need? What can I do? And it's just swapping that around a bit, you know.
I have a toxic trait, which is funny that you communicate about this receiving. And it's actually funny that I'm doing this now because what I'm doing right now is my toxic trait. Okay. I'm one of those undiagnosed ADHD kind of people. Like I have a very non-neurotypical brain. My socialization skills are weird. But one of the ways I help train my brain relate to people is anytime someone gives a story just like you did, I jump on with a related experience.
Right.
And I'm like, I need to stop doing that because to typically neurotypical people, that seems as like a one-upping thing. Whereas for me, it's a relating thing. Yeah, it's connecting. I'm like, oh, we're connecting because we share these traumas or these experiences.
Yeah.
Yes, you're right. I do that.
Yeah, I go, oh, because I want to make the person who's telling me that thing, I want them to realise. Yeah, I want them to realise that. Yeah, it's like, oh, no, I've been through that. I've been through a similar thing. But, yeah, I know what you mean. I come around and I go, oh, does that sound like I'm trying to top their story?
Yeah.
But I'm not. I'm trying to go. No, I don't want to. I want you to go, oh, no, that's not weird because this happened to me. And
and then say, oh, cool, we're friends because we have relatable things to speak about. Yeah. I'm bad for it, man.
But it doesn't sound like a bad thing. Like you said, your intentions aren't to top the story. You're relating to that person and go, that happens to me as well. Don't worry about that. This happened. You know,
and it means I'm actually listening. Whereas if I'm not listening, I'm more likely to sit there and just nod. Which people think is good listening. And I'm like, no, that's bad listening for me.
But sometimes
it means I'm thinking about something else.
Well, this is it. But sometimes someone will be talking to you and a thought will pop into your head and it'll derail you, and then that person's chatting away, and then you sort of, and then they'll ask you a question, and you're like, And instead of going, you know what, I'm really sorry, I've yet to practice this, but we should be able to say to that person, I'm really sorry, but when you were talking, I was listening, and I'm really into what you were saying, but this thought
but I got
popped
lost.
This thought just went, you need to sort your car tax out. It just threw me a little bit, and it's not because I'm bored with you. You know what I mean? We should be able to say that, but straight away that person will go, oh, I'm boring. I'm clearly boring. Like we'll shut down and go, oh God, they just think I'm boring. So they won't really
listen.
And
it's the personal thing again. It's the thing that people take things personally.
Exactly.
It's like, no, you are important. My brain is just wildly bad at inserting terrible things at the wrong time, like rude thoughts. Sometimes people will say something, so I'm like, that's what she said, and I'm like, listen to what they're saying. Don't inject crude humor.
Mine is someone to say something and I'll go, is the name of your sex tape, like in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I have to go. No, sorry to hear that about you, Nan.
Well, because I'm a big believer that comedy is trauma plus time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Like we can say to my sister, that's because you have a brain injury. Like people, when I tell them that, are horrified.
Yeah.
Like, no. It's like it's because we are so over it, and we're so accepting, and we love her, and we're so much happier that she's alive. That it's funnier to us that she has a brain injury than that she's dead.
Yeah.
You know, and it's a way of dealing with our grief.
Well, that's it. It's that gallows humour, isn't it? It gets people through so much. Like I say, my partner and I, sadly, she lost her sister. And one of the things she told me that her sister had said was that I don't want to be forgotten. And it's a beautiful thing, and it's sad, but you know, her sister is brought up every day, all the time, and so it would get to a point like she'd mention it in the morning, and I'd be like, for God's sake, it's not even lunchtime yet, and we're already doing this. Like, you, that's how you deal with it. And it didn't, and it, yeah, there was nothing but love and respect there. It wasn't a,
yes,
to do, you know, it's,
oh, you know, make a joke of me. If I pass away, like, do, yeah, a comedy set on me about some stupid things that I said.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I want someone to, yeah, take over my social media and then still talk like it's me, like I'm from the other side.
From the grave.
Yeah, like, well, it's dark over here. This, yeah, is not what they, oof, this is not what they said it would be like at all.
Yeah. Just, oh, this, yeah, like, no, I'm going to avoid saying some things. I'm actually,
no, go on, just say it. Just say it. Just say it.
Yeah, but no, just on that dark perspective, like, mm, you could just talk about the wild times you're having, or like, I saw XYZ take a shit on the toilet today. It was great. Like,
yeah.
It's,
yeah,
awesome when you're a ghost. You can go anywhere.
These,
I washed your
pokers,
mum last,
yeah,
night. Like, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, your mum, you know, still got it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I just pretend you're in hell. Oh God, it's,
yeah, oh,
hot,
yeah,
it's hot down here. These hot pokers don't get any easier to take.
Yeah, yeah.
Just stuff like
sometimes,
that. But,
yeah. Sometimes less is more in those jokes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Leave the rest to the take, imagination.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what is it? So now, so do you do your, so are your courses, what have you been doing? Have you, today, are they online? You've been doing it, is it physically? People go to see you?
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. Yeah, it's funny because I came on this podcast. This happens all the time. I'm so terribly not money orientated that, yeah, I like forget to promote myself. I'll run these like free workshops online, and at the end, I'm like, oh, and by the way, I have a website.
Right, yeah.
So, yes, if people would like some mobile help in their life, or if they are interested in getting their friends together for like a wellness, meditative movement or self-love session, these are the kinds of things I facilitate. So during the pandemic, I quit my job because I hated working at a desk so much. It was making me terribly depressed and miserable. I quit my job 2 months ago and focused full time on my mobility and just helping people get better.
Yeah.
I now work with two arthritis rheumatoid patients, and we're having some really, really cool results in their strength and their mindset and their pain, which is just awesome. But I do teach a weekly mobility class online. I run full It's My First Time mobility courses, which are totally designed for if you're totally new and you have no idea how to touch your toes, you've got a crunchy back, sore, yep, spine, you sit at a desk all day. I essentially work with everyone from like the horrifically arthritic, in the most joking sense, I'm sorry, horrific's probably mean, but all mean, the way up to athletes. So I teach full contortion and splits and back bends, and, you know, bending yourself in half, trying to wear your bum as a hat.
I've done,
if that's
that
your
couple
interest.
Of times.
Literally. No.
It was a good night. What can I say?
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, my job is to do that. Now, I provide multiple services of this, as in whether you want just a weekly class to attend online, or you want one-to-one private training and programming so that you can become like the master of your own body and movement. All of that is viewable on my website, evydoesit.com. It's spelled with two E's at the start because some bastard on Instagram stole Evie Does It with one E, and then he's no followers. And I was like,
oh,
my goodness.
Doing that.
Now
scum.
I have to commit to two E's.
Yeah, Evie Does It.
Evie Does It. Yeah.
I think it's got
the
more
other day
ring
got,
to it.
Yeah, the other day I got an email and someone was like, thanks, Evie. And I was like, oh, shit. It's, yeah, not my name.
yeah.
So if you look on my website, there's all the advertising I need. I don't need to go on about it for ages. Like,
That's brilliant. Yeah. Well, I'm sure people listening to this will be in touch.
Yes.
I've really enjoyed this. Is there anything else you want to say before we wrap up? And is there anything you wanted to cover? I mean, we're not out of time. I'm just aware, you know, there, yeah, might be something you actually wanted to talk about rather than us. I've kind of taken us all over the place.
No. Yeah, no. I have. It's a bit like this has lost a timeline, but that's okay because we've had fun.
Yeah, but it's, well, we keep talking about communication, and that's
it's
what
sort of been
done.
The central theme of this, to be honest,
yeah,
which is cool, which is,
yeah,
really cool. Whether it be pain communicating to your body or you communicating to someone else.
Yeah.
I guess, for like closing sort of remarks in a sense or a wrap up, I guess what I want people to take away from this and for them to work on is listen to your body. Pain's always telling you something, whether it be if you have an injury, it's because movement's gone wrong. If you're having emotional pain, it's because something within yourself or with someone else is wrong. If you're having stomach pain, it's probably because you're eating pretty shit. If you're having a headache, you're probably dehydrated. You know, pain is just a signal that something needs to change. In a really manageable strategy, if you're someone like me who deals with chronic pain, is when you notice a trigger, so something that triggers your pain. So for me, stress, when I get really upset, I need to insert one of my relievers. For people who can't see this, this is air quotes, relievers. before that pain becomes too intense. So for example, if you're in emotional distress and you know that's about to send you into a migraine, you need to sit down, have a hot shower, breathe for a bit, and just like drink a nice cup of tea or something. You know, you need to put one of your relievers in place to stop that pain becoming overwhelming. Because chronic pain, left unchecked, turns into chronic disease.
Wow.
And as I said, that can look like obesity, heart disease, metabolic disease, mental health conditions.
Yeah.
It all stems from our body signaling something to us at some point. And the most powerful thing you can do to change your relationship to pain is use your mindset. Use your mind to help bring you out of those states, because after all, everything we do for anything, any movement, any signal from our body, it all comes from the brain. It's all signaled to the brain and then it's sent back out.
Yeah. What? Yeah. And you mentioned breathing as well.
Yeah.
Important. And it sounds funny to say it, but I find myself shallow breathing all the time. Yeah. And I'm like, what are you doing? And then I have a minute and take some deep breaths. I'm like, oh, wow, I feel amazing. Yeah.
I feel way better. Yeah. So actually, for everyone who might be listening to this, next time you're stressed out, just focus on pushing your belly button out and sucking your belly button in as you breathe. And literally just focus on that for 30 seconds and then call my WhatsApp number and tell me how you feel.
That's exactly it.
That's the advertising quip, isn't it?
Yeah, I love that. That's perfect. Yeah, we nailed it at the end. Well done.
Yes.
That's honestly, I can't tell you how perfectly timed that is for me, and I imagine anyone listening will say the same. It's been really lovely. Thank you so much for coming on.
No, you've been awesome.
You've been awesome too. Thank you so much. Where can we find you on the social media? Is it going to be Evie?
Yeah, so one is Evelina Chardon. That is my pole dance / wellness / fitness account. Because, I'm not a millennial or a Gen Z. I'm born in that weird space where you're neither, so it's been dubbed as a zillennial.
Oh, my gosh.
I have two Instagram accounts. Oh, really? I have two Instagram accounts. One's Evelina Chardon, and the other one is Evie Does It. So they've got different themes. You'll see if you visit them. Just follow whatever one you like the most.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. This has been an absolute pleasure, and I wish you all the best going forward.
Good fun. I hope to see you at some sort of comedy gig in the near future. I'll scream for you at the back.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.